All right, let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of Psalms, Psalm 133. Psalm 133. This morning, I'd like for us to do exactly that which the Spirit of God has instructed us to do. Psalm 133 in verse 1 says this, "Behold, I want you, according to the wording of the Spirit of God, and myself, all of us, I want us to look at something that the Spirit of God sets forth that is precious. I pray that God Almighty give us ears and eyes to see by faith with thankfulness unto the Lord, with joy and appreciation concerning that which is marvelous, is a miracle." I want us to look at a miracle this morning. Unity among brethren. Now that's a miracle of God's grace. Because we're all by nature born with a heart, a mind that is mad at God. Enmity against God. So the Spirit of God says, I want you to behold and admire and desire and pray for God's blessing. This blessing, this marvelous work of God's grace, it's like a healing ointment that just soothes the heart. And it's accomplished only by God's grace and God's power. The scripture says, behold how good. Not only good, but how good. Not only pleasant, but how pleasant. I want you to look at something that's good because it has found its origin outside of us. In me that is in my flesh, Paul says, there dwelleth no good thing. And nothing good comes out of us. Everything out of us is wild and dark and resentful against God, but this is good. It's how good. And here's the reason that it's so good. How good? James 1:17, every good gift. Now this is a gift. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. This is very good. Not only is it to be beheld as being how good, but how pleasant. How lovely, how charming, how attractive to God's people. God's people love this. They love that which we're to behold. And we delight in it. It just overwhelms us with gladness and joy, peace. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren. Brethren. What does that mean, brethren? Well, it means born of the same Father. Born of the same Spirit. One in heart, one in mind. About what? The glory of God. This is what we're here for. We want to hear, tell me about God's glory. Tell me about God's honor. Behold how good it is for brethren, those who are one in affection for each other. Brethren, those that love and support the preaching of the gospel. Why? Because it is the power of God unto salvation. This is the only thing that matters. This is it. We're united here. It's a precious thing to bear the name of brethren. Brethren. I want you to hold your place. Turn to Luke 8, 19. Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, verse 19. The Lord described the character of brethren. Now, you know everybody and their brother feels themselves, if they go to some assembly, that they're all Christians. They're all, the Lord described, told us who brethren are. Luke 8, verse 19. Then came to him his mother and his brethren, and could not come at him for the press, for the people, just too many people there. And it was told him by certain which says, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to see thee. And the Lord answered and said unto them, my mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it. He said, now that's brethren. But, you know, I want you to notice that characteristic of brethren. They hear the word of God. They hear the glory of Christ. I mean, anybody can read this and not see the word of God in it. Christ is the word. They hear the word of God himself. They hear what he has to say. The word personified. And they hear it by faith. They hear it with remembrance. They hear it with reverence because it's God's word. It glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ. It gives him all the honor and all the glory and all the praise, and it gives us none. They hear the word of God. They know that they hear it as sinners in need of a Savior. They hear it. And listen to this, and they do it. They do it. All brethren hear the gospel. They hear the word of God. And they do it. They do it? Absolutely. The greatest explanation of that truth right there. Doing. Doing the word of God given by the Lord. John 6. This is such a comfort. I need to hear this right here, because as soon as I hear that, you know, that believers do something other than sin against God, I think, oh, clarify that for me, please. Just tell me one more time. Here's what it is to do the word of God. John 6, verse 27 to 29. The Lord said, labor not. Don't be working. That's what that word labor means. Don't work. Don't try to be working for that meat, that sustenance, thinking that you've got something to feast upon that'll merit you before God, is what that means. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they, he just told them, he said, don't work. And they're listening. They're listening to what he's saying. Don't work for something that's not going to endure. Don't be working for something that you think that you got, and it's to your credit, and you're going to stand before God, and many are going to stand before God and going to say, Lord, we prophesied, we've done many wonderful works, we cast out devils, and he's going to say, I never knew you. The Lord said, don't be working for that. Then said they, verse 28, unto him, well, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Well, then tell us, what is it? If brethren hear the word of the Lord, and do it, then, Lord, tell us what it is. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. Now, you know a believer will settle down right there. They'll say, Lord, I believe you. I believe you. I believe that I'm in need. That's what I believe. Lord, who are brethren? Those that hear the word of God and do it. That's a work that an unbeliever has never thought of. He's never thought of a work of faith. That's a good work, a work of faith and a labor of love for Almighty God, for his word, for his people. A work that acknowledges Christ to be the true Messiah, the only one who's ever pleased God by his work. This is brethren. They hear the word of the Lord, they do it. They embrace and they receive him as the Redeemer. Lord, I'm a sinner, and you're the Redeemer. And I trust you. I trust you to save me, casting all of my care, the care of my soul. I'm telling you, I don't have any hope outside of God Almighty saving me by grace. That's brethren. They're behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together, what? In unity. Unity. Now, let me tell you what brethren do. They guard their unity. They guard it. Hold your place and turn with me to Genesis 13. Genesis chapter 13, verse 7 and 8. Genesis 13, 7 and 8. They guard the unity. Genesis 13, 7 and 8. There was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite, Perizzite dwelt then in the land. There was a strife going on. They had a squabble going on between herdmen. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen. Why? For we be brethren. Lot, we've heard the word of God. You know what God said about Abram? Abram believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. What did he believe God concerning? He believed that God justified him freely by grace. Abram was justified by faith. That's what he believed. Not because of his faith. By faith, he believed God had justified him freely by grace. And what about Lot? Scripture refers to Lot as just Lot. Justified Lot. And what was the temptation of Satan that was going to come in there and divide them? What? They had some cows. And some of the cows got over on this piece of grass, and they came over here. Your cows eat my grass. Your cows walking where my cows supposed to be walking. I don't like your cow over here, my cow's place. I'm going to take my ball and go home. And Abram came to Lot, and he said, Lot, don't let there be strife between me and you. Your herdmen, we're brethren. What's the issue with brethren? I tell you what, the issue with brethren is the glory of God. That's it. That's the only issue. And every time Satan tries to come in and start something, it's always something that doesn't matter. It's always some little squabble about, what was the squabble over? Grass? Grass? And in closing, this is what God's people, this is how God's people are unified. How did they come to that point to be unified? Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. How were they unified? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 to 3. Ephesians 4, here's how they got there. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. Now, here's how they got there. God called them to this. God chose them to this. That you're called. And what's the evidence of those that are called? Well, verse 2, with all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring, striving, seeking after, working at it, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. How'd they get there? Almighty God chose them to this unity. God put them together in that eternal covenant of grace, and in time sent the Lord Jesus Christ, who eternally stood as their surety, bore their debt, put away the guilt of their sin, earned a righteousness for them, and then calls them out of darkness and reveals to them that which he's eternally purposed. I've loved you with an everlasting love. And the Spirit of God called them out. The unity of the Spirit, that's how we're unified right here, by God's Spirit. And what, in closing, are we unified in? Well, same book, Ephesians chapter 4. And look at verse 13. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 13. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. I'm sorry, I should have started in verse 13. I read the wrong verse. Till we all come, here it is, the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, till we all come in the unity of the faith. Let me tell you what brethren all believe in unity. They all believe that they're sinners. Now here's the unity of the faith. Here's where we're unified right here. We all believe that we're sinners that can do nothing of ourselves. We all believe this. Not one brother regenerated, sister regenerated by the grace of God believes that they have the ability to reconcile themselves back to God. They don't believe that. They know that they're sinners. They're unified in that they know that God has chosen to show mercy to them. They're unified right there. They believe that Almighty God chose them before the foundation of the world. They're unified in that particular redemption. They believe that God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ, bore their debt and paid their debt. He said, I lay down my life for the sheep. They're unified right there. They believe in that unconditional, that election. They believe that God did not choose them because he looked down through time and decided that they would choose him. Irresistible grace has called them by God's Spirit, and has chosen to show mercy to them. And God, the Spirit, comes to them under the preaching of the gospel and calls them out of darkness. And they hear because God's power. And then they believe that God keeps them. They preserve. They're preserved in the faith. That's what they believe. They're sinners, chosen of God, redeemed by the blood of Christ, irresistibly called by God's Spirit and kept through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity, to quietly sit and continue in peace, established by God, settled by the Holy Spirit, unified in that one message that gives the Lord Jesus all the glory. May God bless this heart, our hearts, through this truth, for Christ's sake and our good. Amen. All right.